Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 1, we were taught that the temple was a location that was set aside as the only place to worship the Lord. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Here we see Hannah's vow. Now, to this point, she's wept in self-pity. But now a burden in her heart, to where her heart is even bitter. It takes her to prayer. You've got a bitter heart, take it to the Lord. Hannah gives us a good example here. And so, it is a heart issue. No longer is it a pride issue. Elkanah, in compassion, tried to comfort her. But human words, even when it's your mate, will fail when there are things that only God's hand and God's voice can calm and give peace. So her vow is that if God, if you'll give me a son, I will give him to the Lord all his days. But not only that, she intensified the vow by saying that he would be a Nazarite. No razor would come upon his head. Now, that'd be humbling for a man in that day to have hair like that. But the servant of the Lord needs to be a humble person. She says, I'll give him to you, Lord, all of his days. Now, when she's going to give him to be a Nazarite, we need to understand what that means. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, we read a little bit about the Nazarite vow. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. Now all of this was to show forth the holiness of God. Wow. And so when these men, not only did they not drink wine, they didn't drink grape juice. They didn't even eat grapes. They didn't even eat the seeds, okay? So they didn't do that. And God was having them do this to show them that there is a difference between the holy and the unholy. And that was to demonstrate that. And that was something that was given to the priest. By the way, have you ever thought that saved people are priests of God? Now, understand also that Hannah, in her vow here, she's in the temple. Now, Solomon's temple will be much later, well over 100 years away from being built. So this is not the temple that we often associate with the Old Testament. The word had an idea of a large, impressive royal room or a public building. And so this is what this building was. It housed the ark there, and it was there to be a place where the people of God would come to worship the Lord. And so this was one place that was set aside to pray to Yahweh. You know, do you remember Jesus? Two times in his public ministry, goes into the temple, overturns the tables of the money changers, and he's angry. He's has a whip, and he's going to town. Why? Because he said, don't make my house a den of thieves, my house of all houses. He said, it's to be a house of prayer. And so the house of God is a house of worship. A church building is a place of worship. So I want you to see it's very important that when you go to church, you understand that when your pastor gives an invitation and you walk down there to the front and you bow there at the front, as we say, at the altar, understand that prayer seems to have a special significance in that place. Now, prayer, I believe, always has a special significance in God's eyes, but there's something that seems to be extra special about this. And so it seems that prayer in God's house, that when you make a vow, it is a very special thing in God's eyes. I think it's good that when you're at church and you go forward, you've been dealing with sin in your life, to go to the altar and bring it to God. Maybe you have an unsaved loved one. My goodness, you don't have to just go one time. I would go several times and pray and let God know that, you know, your heart's desires for this loved one to get saved. I believe the house of the Lord is an important place to make vows unto God. Promise God of the things that you're going to do. Ask God for his help. Ask God to do something special. Hannah does that. I'm sure she prayed before. I'm sure that this has been a prayer for other times. But now, this is a very special time. And so at that point, we take up the story, and we'll start here in 1 Samuel verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12, and go through verse 19. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. In other words, he just noticed her lips. He watched closely. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. In other words, it was a silent prayer. Although her lips were moving, she wasn't speaking aloud, but her heart was shouting out to God. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Oh, my goodness. In the house of the Lord, what a place to pour out your soul, right there in the altar to God. Have you ever done that? And if you have, when's the last time you've done that? Has pride set into your heart and life now? And you're one of those Christians, you're there every Sunday, and you're busy in a ministry. Now you're too spiritual to walk an aisle and stop at the altar. Oh, my friend, I really, my heart's grieved for you, because I'm afraid that pride is something that makes you religious only, and you're not in true fellowship with God as you ought to be. When you lose that sensitivity to the Spirit, and it can no longer move you to the altar, you may be religious, but you're backslid. Oh, my friend, pour out your heart before the Lord. She goes on in verse 16, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. She said, that thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Boy, that is a wonderful portion of Scripture. Eli thinks this woman is drunk. And immediately, boy, he jumps on it. I mean, he's jumped on it. And he starts to condemn her. Now, it's important that you know the facts first. It's easy to condemn without knowing all that is involved. And so sometimes you jump on someone and you don't know everything. And what you perceive may be the wrong perception. Now, one good thing is that when she corrects Eli, he takes the correction. Sometimes people like to gossip about something, they're wrong, but they'll never admit they're wrong and not make it right. And so that's also a shame. You know, I can remember on this, and it's wonderful because in me, it's not in me, but oh, I tell you, God is great. God is great. When my dear mother was dying, I would drive, it's about a 90 to 100 mile drive, I'd drive down to the hospital she was in, and I'd go down there 3 or 4 days a week. I'd take books with me and just sit there. She was dying of cancer, and because they had put the thing in her throat and so forth, she couldn't really communicate through talking. And even after a while, she got to the point where trying to write something, it was hard to tell what she was writing and those things. And it was hard to see your mother like that. And I can remember that long drive back, time or two, just breaking down, crying like a baby. But you see, I grew up in a pastor's home, and then being a pastor now these many years, it's, you know that your life is very public. You also know that you're almost like the football coach of an NFL team. Every decision you make is evaluated greatly by people, and everything you do is greatly evaluated by people, whether they know anything or not. And I'd had my cry when my mom died, right there in that car, in that long drive back. And I'll tell you this, my wife has probably counted on one hand the number of times that she's just seen me break down and cry. But I'm a person that is very private in that respect. But I preach my mother's funeral, miss her like crazy. But you know, there are people that said, oh, he had no emotion. He didn't love his mother. You know, and that come back to me. People made sure I found out that people were saying that for whatever reason. And you know, it was wonderful. And I say that, it was wonderful. God kept me from getting mad, hating people. Instead, it just made me really feel sorry and pray for them, because I don't know, you realize that's something that you see with children, and you knew the devil's behind that. It just kind of made you mad. If it made you mad, it made you mad at the devil.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.